All right. Good morning, Catalyst. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I am so excited to be up here this morning to be able to share just some crazy things happening in the world, and I'll be speaking on walking by faith. That will be the next two Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday, because we are in a time when we have to walk by faith. Right? We're in unprecedented times where we're seeing just these crazy things happening with the world. And if we just live by faith in man, faith in our finances, faith in our health, we're going to be so sorely disappointed, because no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows how this is all going to turn out. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, even this afternoon, how it's going to affect our lives today. And so we need to learn. We need to keep pursuing, what does it mean to walk by faith? What does it mean to trust God and trust God more and more and more every day? So I want to start off with this question to you. Have you ever had an experience that blew your mind? That was a mind-blowing experience where you ate something or you drank something, or you encountered someone, or you went somewhere, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is an amazing time. I want you to turn to your neighbor and share that experience with each other, okay? I hear somebody went to Tahiti. Okay. Okay, let's come back together. Some people are reliving that moment. They're like, oh my gosh, it was so awesome. I'm gonna go right now. You know, for me, okay, this may seem very tame compared to some of the stories that you guys have, but for me, it's coffee, okay? I was making coffee for my wife, Ida, every day. Once we got married, I was making it for her, and I was not a coffee drinker, and I would taste it, and I would, oh my gosh, this is like battery acid, the coffee. And she goes, this is a coffee we drink at work. And I'm like, really? Oh my gosh, I call it angry coffee. Because you drink it, and it's like angry at you, and then it makes you angry because it tastes so bad. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to drink coffee. Then we went to a hotel, and we had coffee. A lot of you, or some of you may know this story already. And so she ordered coffee, and I was like, yeah, okay. But usually what I do is I take a taste, and I'm just always just curious about why she likes coffee. So I tasted it, and it blew me away. I was like, and black coffee, okay, not without cream, not with sugar, not the flavored coffee. And I tasted it, I was like, oh my gosh, this coffee is so smooth. This coffee it's a mellow, nice coffee. It's not an angry coffee, right? You could taste chocolate. And so we asked the waiter, like, is this like a flavored coffee or something? He said, no, this is, and he brought it out and he showed us, and we're like, oh my gosh. And since then, I've become a coffee lover, where I'm like, I want to reproduce that coffee that we had at that hotel. I want to do it again, and at a home, because it's a lot cheaper at home, right? It's $5 or $7 or whatever. And we just drink black coffee, right? And I've found something close to it, and it's been, man, I tell you, it's just been this great journey of moving into coffee and enjoying it. And especially when John and I, we go out and sometimes we'll have coffee and it's like, oh, it's so good, so good. You know, for me, it's been that kind of that same journey with the Lord. Like with the coffee, it's like I tasted it and I'm like, I want to figure this out. I want more. And then I learned how to grind the beans and how to brew the coffee. And then it's, oh, that's good, but there's more. And you just keep going. I just kept going more and more till I finally figured it out, how to make a good cup of coffee. With the Lord, it was the same thing, where I became a Christian. I became a Christian in the 1900s. Sounds like it is a long time. But I became a Christian, and I loved going to church, loved hearing the messages, singing the songs, being with brothers and sisters. But after a while, it's kind of like, I remember feeling like, there's got to be more. I mean, I read in the Bible, and some of the things that are in the Bible, I'm not experiencing. And so I felt this hunger start developing for more of the Lord. And there are a few milestones, significant milestones in my life that really helped me progress down this journey. One of them was hearing God's voice. So when we started Catalyst, that was one of the first things that I experienced, is how to hear God's voice. And I heard it and was like, oh my gosh, I actually sense something. I actually am hearing something. Another one was reckoning my identity in Christ. That once I understood who I was in Christ and how that played out on a daily level, then it was like, wow, this is life-changing things. This is life-changing truths that we're learning. Another one was revelation about God's kingdom. And just going, okay, we're experiencing the kingdom of earth, this, but there's another realm that Jesus talks about. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is here. And it's like, what is that? And the Lord just slowly started giving me revelation about that. And the last one was, so far, exercising faith to experience signs and wonders, to experience the supernatural. I remember John Wimber said, when he first became a Christian, that he asked the older Christians that had helped him, when do we get to do the good stuff that they talk about in the Bible, in Acts, in the Gospels and in Acts? When do we get to do that stuff? And when I heard that, something inside of me said, yeah, I agree with that. When do we get to do the good stuff? And I feel like the Lord is taking me on this journey, taking really our whole church on this journey of experiencing more and more of the good stuff, the supernatural, where God moves and works, and we just go, undoubtedly, that was you that was working. So each of these milestones in my life have been these critical places where the Lord is saying, okay, it's almost like he's saying, okay, here's a little bit more. Okay, you got that? Okay, here's a little bit more. And just taking me on this journey in a way that was just so helpful. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't too much at one time. It was just so helpful that the Lord had taken me through that. Can you guys relate to that hunger? That wanting more of God? That you go about your daily life and it's like, yeah, you see, I got to work, I have family, I have things I need to take care of. But yet at the same time going, there's that growing sense of, isn't there more? You know, you ever watch The Matrix, the movie The Matrix? And the Neo, the main character, is like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to it. And I feel like even for us to this day, there's got to be more than what we're living with, what we're experiencing, what we're stepping into. If God is so powerful, where is the power of God working in the church? Where's the people of God experiencing that power and authority that God has? And so I hope for you and for our church that we would step into this saying, yeah, God, I'm not going to try to fill that hunger for more of you with other things. I'm not going to try to, because those things actually work. You know, play video games or watching things, or we can fill ourselves with that and placate that hunger for a little bit. But it's when we really pursue the Lord and say, I'm hungry for you, God. And I'm not going to let anything else fill that spot except you. That's when we really see things happening in our lives and experience more of the Lord. So, in order to do that, in order to walk and be hungry and pursue Him, we've got to learn how to walk by faith. That's the whole thing. That's why we're called believers, right? It's because we need to learn how to walk by faith. So before we get into the whole thing about, you know, how do we live by faith, I want to actually just spend a little bit of time just talking about what is faith, okay? Because I think a lot of times we can have all these ideas of what is faith and preconceived pictures of like what faith, and sometimes we can get to this place of thinking like faith is like this belief, but then it's just in certain context. So it's like it's in a religious context. So I'll keep my exercising of faith in God into these certain situations. So when I go to church, okay, yeah, I go to church and we're supposed to exercise faith. So, okay, that's why I'll do it. In small groups, okay, small group, I'll do that. When I'm serving in the ministry, that's when I'll do it. Maybe even saying grace before a meal. Okay, that's when I'll exercise faith, okay? But every other time, it's for me. I'm exercising faith in other things or other people or even myself. I got this description of faith from Christianity.com and I thought it was so good. It says, faith, according to the Bible, is so much more than just belief. It's that deep, unshakable trust in God's promises, a confidence that he is who he says he is and will do what he promised, even when we can't see the outcome. The Greek word for faith, pistis, speaks to this active, loyal trust that involves our whole being, our mind, our hearts, and our actions. So, to walk by faith is to live with that trust at the core of our lives, letting him guide every choice, every step, every hope, especially when things seem unclear. I love that. It's this comprehensive way of life that we live. It's not just we pigeonhole or we put faith into certain, or even God, put him in certain boxes and go, okay, you stay there. It's allowing God, it's this deep faith that we say, whatever you say, God, this is who you are, this is what you've promised, and I'm going to let you impact every single area of my life. When I think about my relationships, I bring it to the Lord. Lord, is there something I need to do with my relationships? Is there a person I need to forgive? Is there a person I need to encourage? I bring it to you. Lord, with my job, is there something you want me to do here? Or is there a field that you want me to pursue? I ask you, Lord, give me direction. My finances, hobbies, all that stuff, it's brought to the Lord and saying, God, what do you think about this? How do you want me to address this situation? What choices do you want me to make in my life? And then we go according to that. So it's not this passive thing where we just go, okay, or it's only certain areas, but it's this faith that we exercise and we use in every areas of our lives because it's deep-seated. It's not this, yeah, it's among some other values that I have, competing values that I have. It's this deep-seated belief, trust, dependence, security in the Lord that drives everything else. So, I have a question. If we belong to Christ, if we had said yes to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then does my life reflect one that is faith-filled? In other words, when other people see your life, can they see that, oh, that person, they're walking to a different drummer. They're not going according to what everybody else does. They've got marching orders and choices that they make that's very, very different than a lot of other people. Is our lives reflecting that? Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to talk about is, why is walking by faith important? Okay, you may be thinking, okay, that's, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, Christian and I'm religious and all that stuff, but why is it important? Yeah, faith is important. Faith is important to God. And the first one is because it pleases God. when we exercise faith, God is pleased. Can you imagine that? We please God every time we exercise faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith, without trusting in a God who is invisible, a God who we cannot touch. And yet we center our whole lives around him. That blesses him. That he is pleased with that kind of lifestyle. When we say, God, I can't even see you, I can't touch you, but yet I will center my life around you and what your word says and how you direct me and how you lead me. That pleases him. You know, John 20:29, this is after Jesus was resurrected. He showed himself to the disciples. And Thomas, if you guys remember, Thomas wasn't with them the first time Jesus came. And so Thomas is like, yeah, you guys didn't see Jesus. You guys didn't see Jesus. He goes, if I put my fingers in the nail holes, then okay, and in his side, I'll believe it. So a week later, Jesus shows up, and he goes to Thomas, and he goes, see the nail holes? See the side? Do you believe? And Thomas, Jesus said to Thomas, verse 29, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed. The ones that didn't need to see Jesus and put their fingers in the holes. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who believed even though they haven't seen. And I feel like it's the same for us today. We haven't seen God. He's invisible to us. And yet, what are we doing with our lives? We've seen faith happen this morning. What does it look like, right? What does it look like to believe in someone who's invisible? We've seen it just 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, where we worshiped, we sang these songs. Faith will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Faith will rise as we come before a God that I've never seen, I've never touched, I've never physically hugged. Faith will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. We wait upon you, even though we cannot see you, God. You are my God and my King and my Lord and my Savior, and I center my whole life around you, even though I've never seen you. And that confession, those prayers, those songs, just blesses God. He is pleased when we come to him with that kind of faith to say, yeah, that's who you are. I surrender. I surrender my life. I'm willing to look foolish in front of other people to proclaim my love for you. That pleases his heart. That pleases his heart. You know, I had a really, I mean, just, it was short. You know, I was like, John, I wish we could go longer. I wish we could go longer. But just even in that short time of worship, That song, when I was preparing the message, and that song, How He Loves, kind of came to mind in that bridge when it says, and heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I feel like there are times when heaven, you could feel it. You could feel the presence of God just come. The heaviness, the weightiness of his glory comes when heaven meets earth. And it's like this. I don't know if you guys have experienced it, but there are times I'm here leading worship. And it's like this unforeseen interaction with the Lord. and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I want more of those interactions. I want more of those encounters with you guys. At my house, but with you guys as well. So it pleases God. That's the first thing. The second one is, why else is important to God? Not only does it please him, but it's necessary to pursue him. We need to exercise faith in order to follow Jesus. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all the people wanting to listen to Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And exercise faith that where I'm going, where I'm leading you, will be a good place to go, is where you need to go. Now, the unfortunate thing, I can kind of hear you guys' voices like, or you're thinking, yeah, but a lot of times when the Lord leads me to stuff, it's scary. It's like, you're taking me here. You want me to do what? And we get kind of scared, right? There are things that we're like, we don't know how it's going to turn out. Yeah, I hear you. But you know what? I know that our comfort is not God's highest value. It's not about how comfortable we are. That's his goal in life. Oh, I want to make my sons and daughters comfortable. No. In order to exercise faith, we need to be in those situations where we go, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You know the answer. You know what's going on. I trust you. I want to show this real quick video about this guy. He's a consultant to billionaires. I didn't know billionaires needed consultants, but apparently they do. And he meets with these four guys weekly, I think. I think it's weekly, but I want to show this video. Is someone back there?
I actively coach four billionaires. And so these are people I talk to every week. $1 million a year. I had to work up to that. I was the broke kid 3 miles from here. We'll tell that story. The one thing that I learned from them is actually maybe everyone knew it, but I didn't. Their number one trait is assertiveness.
Assertiveness?
Yeah. They assert themselves in situations because they believe they'll figure it out.
So they'll believe before they see.
Yeah. Confidence. Yeah, exactly what you said.
I'll figure it out. Maybe after all, but one day I'll figure it out.
That's confidence. Uh-huh. Confidence is I believe in my ability to figure things out. Confidence is not perfection. It is I'll get in motion, I'll figure it out. And so if you want to change the world, you have to assert yourself in the world. You can't be a passive person. You have to have high agency. Like most problems I would look at and I'm like, oh God, they're like, I guess you have to do it. Jeff Bezos says that what made Amazon so successful was that they made decisions with only 60% of the information. Mm. But you're never going to have it. We have enough? Go. And then learn and find it out. It's that most people, they think they need to have 100% before they go. And we've been all wronged in our industry for a long time. We had a lot of people in our industry selling certainty. You need to be certain. You have to be certain. And that's been wrong because people who are certain tend to be stubborn. And people who are certain stop being curious.
You need to be flexible, too.
You need to be flexible, adaptive, and curious. And if you are truly flexible, adaptive, and curious, you actually go into problems more easily. Because you're like, let's see how this... You're curious. Let's see how this is going to turn out.
And a failure is meaning they're a failure.
Yeah. They're not attaching to identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Wayne Dyer always talked about, as your references. That if you put whatever you attach I am to, be very careful, right? I am a loser. I am not as smart. I am a bad dancer. I know a bad dancer.
it's a bully.
It's a bully.
That was very eye-opening when I heard that. When they said, yeah, some of those billionaires, they don't need all the answers. Like you said, Jeff Bezos, the CEO or whatever, president of Amazon, he 60%. And if he gets 60%, then he's like, okay, let's go. And then we'll figure it out. When we run into problems, we'll figure it out. How many of us in our Christian life are we willing to say to the Lord, God, you know all the answers, so just lead me and guide me, and I'll just say yes. A lot of times we're like waiting for, are you sure? Are you sure? How's this going to work out? What if this happens? What if this happens? And we try to fill in all the blanks and try to get all the answers till we, maybe not 100%, but at least, I don't know, 90? We're fairly certain about how the outcome is going to be. And then we, yeah, okay. But we know that we have a God who is, he knows 100%. He knows 100% of what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what this is going to do to us. He knows everything. And yet we still hesitate. We need to step in faith and follow Jesus and go, no matter what you're calling me to, even though from my eyes looks kind of scary, I think you're calling me to do this. And so I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to step in, knowing that even when we make mistakes, even when we fall into and we have challenges in life, that he's going to be able to get us out of it, right? We're not like those billionaires where we have to figure it out by ourselves. We can work with God to figure out, what do you want me to do next? What do you want me to pursue next? Because I'm in a little bit of trouble. God can give us the strategy and the answers. And so walking by faith, trusting him, following him, it requires faith to do that. Now, the third reason why it's important to walk by faith is that not only does it please God, it's necessary to pursue him or to follow him, but it points people to Jesus. I got the three P's, okay? Pleases, pursue, points. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God wants us to shine. We need to exercise faith so we shine for him so that people glorify us, right? No. They see what we do and they go, wow, what is that kind of lifestyle? And they figure out it is God, and they glorify God. They give God all the glory and the praise that's due him. But he wants us to exercise that faith in following him, walking with him, shining people to him, or showing people and pointing to him so that they get to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I know even that at times it's hard, you know, especially when God says, go up to that person and pray for them. Oh, man, I don't know them. We're in Chick-fil-A, and I'm supposed to go up there to them, or we're at the beach, or we're doing this, or we're at the store, or we're somewhere. I heard stories, like people calling tech support. This one guy, he was calling tech support. And then the guy was like, oh, yeah, we got to do this. And then the guy goes, hey, so, you know, I know a lot of people need tech support, but everybody needs Jesus. And he just launched into this thing. And God puts us, or we get into these situations at times, and it's kind of like, whoa. But yet the Lord is saying, are you willing to follow me, to walk with me, so that people get pointed to Jesus in the way that you live, in what you say and what you do, that people get to see Jesus, and that maybe some, well, we get to plant seeds, And at points, some we get to harvest and see a great miracle happening in their lives. You know, in my small group, it was a small group that was designed when we first started, before the pandemic, when we first started. It was people that live far away, you know, people that live kind of far away that have a hard time coming on like a midweek Bible study. So let's have them come on a Sunday. And so Ida and I said, yeah, okay, we'll lead this group. So it was a group that didn't really know a lot about each other. It wasn't like they're all same age group or kids with life stage or anything like that. It was just people that lived far away. And so that was the only thing in common we had, is that they live far away. So we started meeting, and in the beginning, it was a little bit hard because it's kind of like, okay, do you know them? Do you know them? Oh, we've been going to church for a while with them, but we don't know them. And it's so introducing everybody to each other. And yet, what's happened over the years is just amazing, because I've seen, my wife Ida and I, we've seen the growth in the people in our small group, and how people are taking steps of faith. And so actually I want to call up Colleen Sasaki. She's going to share a little bit about what happened with her recently. Hey, Colleen. So Colleen, can you share a little bit about, kind of the experience that you had in that store?
Good morning, everyone. Ross asked me to speak, and that's why I'm here. But I am not, well, with God's help. So I like to go to secondhand stores or thrift stores, and people are really friendly there. I mean, I find, and I found this one serving tray, and it was written, "What cancer cannot do," and it was like, cancer cannot shatter hope, it cannot silence courage, it cannot steal eternal life, it cannot dissolve faith. So it was kind of like, ooh, I know someone who's going through cancer, I thought I'd buy that. And a friendly person came up and said, oh, what did you find? And I said, oh, I just shared what I found. And this person said, he's experiencing some health issues too. More.
Mm-hmm.
So
tell the whole story.
You know, I don't know why, but I just felt that the Lord wanted me to pray for him, so I just asked, well, can I pray for you? And he said yes, and so I did, and that was that. Whew. I mean, you know, that is not what I would normally do. So I think it was just the serving tray, and it was saying, you know, it cannot steal eternal life. I mean, it was already around God, and it kind of just led to that.
Mm. Keep going. Tell the whole story.
So, but back up, Ross had mentioned when you meet people, you know, to give them eye contact and to smile and to say good morning or a greeting. And so I said, hey, Ross, it worked. You know, people will look at you and smile. And he goes, oh, that's good, but now tell them Jesus loves you. I thought, oh, my God.
Like, it wasn't exactly like that.
Yeah, well, almost.
I celebrated you.
No. Yeah, no. But it's like the next step. And so at the same thrift store, I ran into him again. And it was like we were friends, so we chatted. And I thought, oh, And then he left, and we were, I was shopping, and he was shopping, and I knew he was checking out, but I was still shopping. And I thought, oh, I forgot to tell him Jesus loves him. So he finished his transaction, and he left, but I didn't know he actually left. So I thought, what happened? He left. So I went out the door, and he was a ways, and I said, do you know Jesus? And he turned around and said, what? And I said, do you know Jesus? And I think it was kind of vague, but I just said, Jesus loves you. And then he went, but I don't know, maybe he just needed that at the time, but yeah.
You know, we talked yesterday on the phone about her coming up here and sharing. And I was telling her that, you know, I've known Colleen for years, a few years, several years. And, you know, I always had this picture of her that she's kind of like this shy, gentle, very nice person, you know, kind of behind the scenes and stuff. And she shared about why she started coming to Catalyst, because I knew her when she was at, we were at Cerritos Baptist. And so she kind of shared, and she said the whole pandemic thing, that just kind of, she's a teacher, and she said she just got angry with a lot of things that would be putting on teachers and all that stuff. And so she said she talked to Evasia, and Evasia shared, oh yeah, come to Catalyst, and all that kind of stuff. And so she started coming. So she shared this with me about how she was getting upset. And I'm like, whoa, there's this lion inside of her, you know? And then as she started stepping into things and started, it's like it's coming out, that lion is coming out more and more, to the point where she's telling me, I pray for my students. Like they'll start coming up to her and start sharing things that they're going through in life, and then she goes, can I pray for you? And then, oh yeah, yeah, can you pray for me? And so she's praying, and it's like that whole picture I had of her from way before, I'm like, no, this is not even accurate. She's really stepping into who she is, and she's trusting the Lord that he's going to take her and give her these experiences that are just mind-blowing and exciting. And so, yeah, every time, you know, when she comes to small group, I'll say, hey, Colleen, anything happened this week? You know, and she'll share, oh, I got to pray for so-and-so, or, yeah. So thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks, Ross.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. That's exciting. When we see people in our church stepping into ways to point people to Jesus. Man, that's even when that's the best part. I'm scared. I was so scared. Yeah. They did it anyway. That's to me the most exciting part. Okay, so that was the three things, right? The three P's. Now, the last part, and I'm going to actually talk a little bit more about what do we do with this faith and how do we walk in it. I'm going to talk about it next week. So I'm not going to spend too much time on it today. But how do we grow in faith? Okay, real quickly, don't conform, but be transformed. Okay, and we know what verse that comes from, right? Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He wrote Romans, and he's talking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the way we see things, by the way we interpret things, by the way we start living, that we don't live according to the patterns of this world anymore, which we all were birthed into, and we grew up understanding and learning, and we've been trained in this. Paul is now saying, you gotta, in order to be transformed, you gotta renew your mind. And it's not something that we just fall into. Oh, by accident, okay, now I see the kingdom. I operate like the kingdom. I operate like I totally get what Jesus is talking about. No, it's this training. It's this change in the way that we view things, in the way we view people. Next week, I'm going to be talking about walking by faith, changing, turning problems into opportunities. It's this mind shift that we need to have, where we look at situations and we go, oh man, I used to look at that as a problem. Now I see it as an opportunity. That's that mind shift that we need to have in order to be transformed. You know, I would read the Bible, and there are times when I'm like reading and going, this doesn't make sense. What are you talking about, Jesus? And a lot of times I'd be like, I don't get it. Just move on. Go to the next part. But recently I was reading Luke 8, 19 through 20, and that's the part where Jesus is teaching. The house is full, and his mother and his brothers, they want to say something. They want to see him. They want to have a moment with him. And so he comes, they come, and he's teaching, and then someone sees them and goes, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here. And Jesus, he says this. Where is it? He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And when I first read that, or up until recently, whenever I read that, I was like, wow, Jesus is dissing his mom and his brothers. Yeah? You feeling that way, Jackson? Yeah, it does feel that way, right? Like, wow, he's like almost ignoring them and saying, they're not my family. This is my family. These people are my family. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, is that Jesus' character, his nature, that he would do that? And as I started thinking about it, I'm going, you know, really what Jesus is saying is, as well as my mom and my brothers, these people are also my family. He's expanding his definition of family. Not going, oh, these guys, and saying, these people are my family. The ones that hear the word of God and do it, they are my family also. And so then it's kind of like, oh my gosh, is that what you're saying in this? And then as I thought about it more and I sat with the Lord, I'm going, that makes more sense. That's more in alignment with who you are, God, rather than just dividing people. And so as we become more and more renewed in our thinking and transformed, that we're going to read scripture and it's going to be different. And we're going to, oh my gosh, this makes sense. This makes more sense to me because I'm looking at it from heaven's point of view, not from an earthly perspective. And having that change is going to enable us to even more step into walking by faith. So I have this exercise I'd want us to do, and we can do it during the worship time, maybe during the first song, but it's two verses of Proverbs and Isaiah, and I'd like us to just kind of sit with these verses and meditate on them, okay? Christian, meditate, okay? Not empty your mind, but it's fill your mind with these verses. Okay, so you can pick one of the two. They're very familiar verses, so it wouldn't be strange to you, or wouldn't be. But pick one that the Lord is highlighting, and especially in the first set or in the first song, just is almost like a cow chewing its cud. Go over that verse maybe 5, 6, 7 times, reading it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And then read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And just meditate on that, and then see if the Lord starts highlighting certain parts of it, certain phrases or certain words, and then go to him and say, what do you want me to know about this word or this phrase? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do with this? And just go over it again and again and again until you're able to anchor it down into something where the Lord speaks to you, and then you go, oh, that's what he's saying. That's how he wants me to understand. That's what he wants me to understand. That's how he wants me to apply this verse. And so let's spend some time just letting the Lord and his word wash over us to wash off all the crud that we get from the world, all the false thinking and the lies Let the Lord, let his word wash over our minds so that we start thinking more and more and more like him, to be renewed in the way we think, so that that brings about transformation. Okay? Yeah, that's good. That's good. So let's do that. So can the worship team come on up? So as they're playing, just spend that time with the Lord. Spend that time with the Lord, just seeking him, reading his word. Oh, so they're going to take the scripture off of the walls so you could see the lyrics if you want to sing. So I would encourage you, if you have your Bible or you have your phone, pull up one of those verses and then sit with it. So during the worship time, you could take a look at it and go, God, what is it that you want me to know on a deeper level? What is it that you want me to renew my mind about? What is it that you want me to change the way I think or to change the way I see things? And just spend that time with him, going over those verses again, and let him speak to your mind as you listen to him. Okay? So let me pray. Thank you, Lord. God, it's just amazing how much you love us and how pleased you are with us, your sons and your daughters who hunger after you, who want more of you, who want to walk in faith and trust and loyalty and dedication and commitment and dependence of you. That's our heart's desire, Lord. That's our heart's desire. And so come meet us in this place as we go after you, as we seek after you, God. Meet us in this place. Let this be a holy moment of encountering you, Jesus, in this place. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.